Hello, this is Vinny Eastwood that I'm talking to. This is John Arsenault. Vinny, I thank you for doing the actual capture of this conversation. I enjoyed talking to you briefly before this interview. I want to let everyone know that my birthday was June the 4th, and ironically, Vinny was the first person to send me a happy birthday message. It was quite awesome. And everything Vinny does has a lot of personality involved in it. Vinny, I let you know what I would want this, the main topic of this interview to be. And that is, the tendency of people that are in the alternative media to start, to carry many different topics. And they seem to overlook the divided and conquered humanity. You know, it's like the main issue on our terrestrial plane. And I'm trying to be as correct as possible because this flat earth, round earth crap is just agitating the shit out of me. Who cares? What about people? We got transhumanism in our face, and people are, they're bypassing being human. They're bypassing their self. They're the answer. They're the victim. They're the ones that live in fear and promote all of these different topics in a hyperbolic modality. So, Vinny, I thank you for being the host that you are. You you always bring a smile and some humor to the extermination of our cohabitated, co-created existence. So, I'd like to just ask you, pertaining to what I just mentioned as far as the divided and conquered humanity, Vinny, out of all the people you talk to, how many guests do you have that focus on this main issue? The Hegelian dialectic has managed to divide and conquer humanity in so many different ways. I mean, how many more times can we split a hair? You know what I'm saying? I think the answer to humanity is us being who we're born to be. What do you think about that, Vinny?
I've always baffled by the whole divide and conquer thing and why it works so effectively. And I think it's because, I mean, you can't really blame people, all right? Like, if I go and kill a rabbit, I get a rifle, load a bullet in it, and use a scope from, like, I don't know, 400 yards out, and pop it through the head, and go, ha, 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 dumb rabbit, you got yourself killed.
Right. Exactly.
That's what the truth movement has been turned into, I think, because people don't really want to face the broader awareness of the scale of the problem that we're dealing with. They will choose to micromanage one little part of the New World Order scheme for themselves, and that becomes, you know, their forte.
Their bailiwick.
So I've seen a lot of people go into this, you know, and that's for good or for ill. Like, I would take a number of people and go, they've got a speciality, but they're also very clued up about a number of things. Right. Now, I think it was Penny Bright, who's a great New Zealand activist, who said, you know, it took me 30 years of activism to learn this lesson. When you want to be dealing with people, deal with them on an issue-by-issue basis. And I was just like, whoa, hold on a second. That means that we don't have to have a carte blanche, giant list of things that we must agree upon in order to interact and get something done upon this particular issue right here, right now. That's right. And that means that we don't have to follow everybody else and all of their movements and what that kind of thing, just wait for them to say something we don't agree with so we can mentally and psychologically justify Xing them out of our lives forever. Yeah, that's right. Okay, fantastic. Thank you, Penny.
Exactly.
All right, so I found that coming together, as George Carlin put it, is about noticing the similarities. Now, it's interesting that you should be answering me this question at this point in time, because I've just gotten off. Let me just go through this here. These are my recent videos that have just been uploaded, full interviews with a green screen and everything. Jeffrey Doherty, the Christian whistleblower, the template for expanding human consciousness, Carlos Kookaburra, expanding your consciousness with David Icke, bloodlines and psychopaths control most of society, Daryl Hamamoto. You know, these are interesting guys. And they've got a lot to say. And what was interesting is that we weren't really talking about their subject matter. My show normally does that. We go off on a tangent because normally an interview is what you want out of somebody, okay? Like, interviewers have interviewed me plenty of times, and they've got a set agenda and they've got a set bunch of questions. I never do. Never do any research upon who I'm talking to because I'm a conversationalist, somebody who's good at and likes engaging in conversations. And almost every single conversation that I've had on my show, thousands of interviews, they've always been good conversations. They haven't been combative. They haven't been angry. They've always been bringing people together and talking about the things that we have in common, right? Because it's the things that we agree upon that we should come together and collaborate on. The things that we disagree upon conceivably can be tabled for a later time, possibly a time when we've overthrown the cabal of ruthless criminal sociopathic transhumanist scumbaggery Satanists that are currently controlling the earth. You know what I mean? Maybe it's a radical suggestion. Just put aside meaningless little squabbles over who killed who and who's going to kill who in Game of Thrones, and then start talking about how can we actually stop each other from being ruthlessly exterminated by a bunch of criminal scum.
Exactly.
You know, I could be wrong. You know, maybe somebody else has a better move on this one.
If me and you could market an unskullfuckery pill for people to take, maybe it might make them realize that they're buffering their cognitive dissonance in their ego by sticking to these different hyperbolic topics. You know, like everyone has their topic, everyone has their specialty, and they're all scratching. And they're realizing all they're doing is talking to the same audience over and over. They're not reaching the masses. They're reaching the select few that memorialized them and followed them. You know,
I think it was Suzanne Posel who said that there is no alternative media. There's only crazy There's only crazier right wing media.
And exactly.
And I've only just started to realize this, and I was like, far out, dude. Think about it. Mm. All of the biggest, baddest freaking leaders of the truth movement with the biggest platforms, the highest budgets, are right-wing Christian patriots. All of them, right? Every single one of them. It's not. You're like, you can't get any more clear cut than that. If you're a right-wing Christian patriot, you make money in the alternative truth movement scene. If you're not a right-wing Christian patriot, you get crapped on and you have to struggle for survival. And it's like that. And I think maybe the money has tempted people out of the truth, right? Because the truth's a very, very big thing. Okay.
Exactly.
I like to have my fingers in a lot of pies.
Yeah. Well, they say the truth sets you free, but you know, consumerism is not fucking freedom. Let me tell you something. I was part of that presidential campaign for the Philippines, and Rodrigo, man, I'm from South Louisiana. I'm going to butcher his name. I'm just going to say President Duterte. I've managed to pronounce that properly. I was part of a 6.8 million thread trending media topic called his campaign, and the people elected a man, and the man serves the people. Now, when he won, when it was official, okay, his running mate, they you could see the West with their electronic voting machine fraud and everything kicked in and put someone that's more on the cabal aspect of influence, you know. But just sticking to this topic here, I'll show you how people come together in a frenzy like piranha. This man was elected, and then immediately you could see him standing to represent his people, and then here comes the Western media attacking him. He's going to cause genocide. He's going to be a human rights violator. Because he was a mayor of a town, a city called Davao for like 30 years, and it was like the world's worst city to go to. Now it's the world's safest city. It took him 30 years to clean the city up. The man put the power lines under the ground. You know, he attacked the base issues that were affecting his city. Now, he's got the mainstream media, the lamestream media, trying to say he's all these things, but he's making statements like, "I tell you what, the mainstream media is a whore. It serves the interest. You know, it serves the West. It serves all of the fraud. What they call it, pork barrel. Their politics. You know, so I'm watching stories and issues trend down to a human interaction level, and I'm watching people as they have their tendency to support what they, you know, like there's 100 million Filipinos. They have passively allowed their country to be raped, and they have a president now that's pointing out like a $6.7 trillion loan that the exiting president made with the IMF and the World Bank, you know, and they're like, okay, you want to support all the and dude, I'm telling you, the alternative media is stepping up and it's becoming mainstream media based on reporting, not journalism. You see, where all these damn excuses, it's all self-justified. How dare you go against ABC in Australia? You know, they're what they say is truth, but. Man, everyone is starting to wake up, and it's like someone that has they're dizzy, you know, and they're footing, they're about to fall, and you just steady them a little bit, and you say, "You all right, dude? Yeah, I'm okay. I don't know what happened." You know, it seems like the collective consciousness of all people is starting to realize there's something fucking wrong, you know, and
yeah, that's exactly what I found with with all those videos that I mentioned just earlier before, is that every single one of those people said that something is wrong,
yeah, right,
and that they went through a grief process for waking up to from whatever they were to whatever they are now, right?
Exactly.
It means they go through loss and depression and anger and denial, you know, all of that good stuff. And most people don't reach the acceptance phase, mind you, and that's why they become right-wing Christian patriots. But the other thing is... and the other thing is...
Onward, Christian soldiers.
Yeah. And not to call people sheeple and degrade them, right? Now, it always baffles me, this onward Christian soldier, you know, like, and there's a lot of people who are, you know, talking about taking up arms against the New World Order, buying all their storable food and their guns and everything like that. I'm like, okay, so let me get this straight. Your idea is to start a war against arms manufacturers with unlimited budgets and unlimited mind-controlled slaves they can use as soldiers.
Yeah.
That's your plan? Right? Exactly. It doesn't sound like you've thought this one through, but how do you... Okay, if you want to fight a war against the New World Order, okay, you want to take out your guns and everything against them. All right, waking up the people and actually getting the slaves, you know, the slaves that are like you, you know, they thought exactly like you probably once did, you know, in a very shallow, narrow, mind-controlled fashion that your school and your peer pressure and your television and everything that you were exposed to throughout the entirety of your life kind of caused you to act, you know, how it's kind of not your fault, right? A dog isn't stupid or a slave because he comes to his owner when he calls, all right? He's been trained, hasn't he? We all have. And letting go of that training and letting go of the "I've got an answer now" or "there's an expert who can find the answer for me" to "the answer is within and I have to give up everything I think I value in order to get back on track and fulfill my destiny, because everything that I currently think that I value actually is freaking worthless. And the only thing I've been doing with my life up until this point is being paid by the hour to rob myself of my own freaking destiny."
Consumerism. All right?
And I was talking to this guy about holographics and what's it called? Sacred geometry, right? And I came up with this kind of riff, you know, based upon the stuff he was talking about. I'm Vinny Eastwood. I'm an interdimensional holographic alchemical Archimedean comedian expressing the humor of being human in a unified field. And collectively, we can rack up the hierarchy and tell the Archons to fuck off.
Exactly. Vinny, only you can put it together like this. You know, dude, it's like transhumanism, or being human. Okay, it's about like hating motherfuckers or loving people and realizing that it's easier to smile and not engage in these arguments. So, well, the reason why I want to talk to you is because my and the Blue Avons are coming and they're going to sell you fucking Tupperware. And then we got Nibiru that's coming. And then you know, Russia's going to fight the U.S. God damn. What more, man? What more do we need to realize than realizing we're the fucking victim? We're the fucking solution. And we don't have to convince anyone to be accountable to us, but be accountable to themselves. Do no harm, the universal law. Gratitude is a byproduct. You know, I'm freaking out, dude, because it looks like the less we do to try to promote these individualized sensational topics that we have to prove that we're right. I mean, look at Jeff Dowdery yesterday. He admitted when you told him, like, fuck it. And it's probably from that yogi, you know, that fuck yeah and fuck it videos. But when he said fuck it, he disengaged from everything he was trying to prove for the reason why he was doing what he does. And the dude is freaking awesome. He truly is a Christian whistleblower. You know, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes, but it hasn't been comfortable being in my damn shoes because I'm just now learning how to be my damn self. You know, I'm just now embracing me. You've mastered that, you know?
I had a conversation yesterday with my mate Baxi and his wife Ange. And yeah. Baxi used to, his parents used to run a chain of rest homes, the best rest homes in the country, right? Retirement homes, villages, and stuff like that. And the reason why they won awards every year after year after year is because they refused to turn their things into a rest home. You know, it was like all group participation. There's always music. There's always animals and that kind of thing.
Socialization.
Sounds like real life.
Yes.
Okay. And it was interesting. We were talking about education because he said that, Vinny, if we got all the corrupt bankers and everything and all the schemes that are currently in this country, and we can do that actually pretty quickly if the laws just got enforced, like today, just boom, there'd be an extra $20 billion net in the economy, and there's only 4 million people living here, Vinny. What would you do with the $20 billion extra? And I go, well, spend $10 billion on the most advanced internet connection thing throughout the entire country that the world's ever seen, and turn New Zealand into a massive South Pacific tech hub where people will outsource a whole lot of their tech needs and things like that, because we're so remote that getting somewhere by ship or by plane takes frickin' ages. So doing it all digitally makes a hell of a lot more sense for the economy. And the other $10 billion will just be reshaping the education system so that you only spend about 2 years in school learning how to tell fact from fiction, how to seek your own destiny, and basic understandings of all the scientific principles that we currently know of, and music and culture, etc. And then you have to go into some kind of apprenticeship program where you will be one-on-one mentored by somebody into various careers, which you can change at any time, so that you can literally spend the entirety of your life being around somebody who's smarter than you or learning how to be or learning how to think.
Right. And Vinny, that would put all these talking heads, these freaking bureaucrats, these politicians out of business, man. They wouldn't be able to commit fraud against the people they're supposed to serve.
Which is why that system would be vehemently opposed by the vast majority of the population.
Exactly.
Joe Rogan said something on a podcast that I watched the other day on Facebook, and he said that people are stupid. Now, he didn't say it as an insult. He meant it that it was simply the fact, okay, and it wasn't, I think it's not their fault. Maybe he thinks it is, but here was the point he was making. Stupid people, their fault or not, can be convinced of things much easier than an intelligent person would. They can be convinced that a politician is good when they stand up and say nothing, right? Where an intelligent person will say, this guy's saying nothing. Somebody who isn't schooled up, somebody who hasn't been clued up to media literacy or scumbaggery or psychopathy or sociopathy or marketing techniques and things of this nature, will see a speech very differently to somebody who does know those concepts and principles. And thus, they'll be able to get misled by them. And this is the big problem, I think. Media literacy. I mean, literally, this is how we get all of our information, isn't it? Through the media. And once you realize that the media is full of crap, you go to the alternative media. And once you realize that's full of crap, you're like, oh my God, I suddenly have to figure out the truth for myself. I can't just rely on somebody to fucking tell me.
You know, that's why this new president in the Philippines caused some hackles to raise. The hair was raising on the necks of the prostitute media in the Philippines. You know, he was like, y'all have done nothing to expose the fraud. In fact, y'all have blackmailed all the people that have been trying to do good things for the people, and y'all actually have a track record of working for the bureaucrats and the cabal. And he's like, what if I prove that you committed tyranny against the people of the Philippines and you were executed? What if that was a policy? Would you start reporting? Would you start becoming a journalist again instead of, you know, actually do your job?
Can I also say this? The environment has a huge effect on people's ability to lie. Okay, so if you see lying around you all the time and people getting away with it, in fact, people becoming more successful of it, it's 90% more likely that you yourself will start lying as well. However, if you see examples of honesty, decency, compassion, integrity all around you at all times, and honor and principle, you will 90% more likely to reflect those behaviors as well. It's the institutions that are wrong. Sometimes a house has been so dilapidated that you do just need to burn it down and build anew. That means that the entire structure has to be changed. You can keep all the buildings that all these journalists and everything work in and all of that kind of stuff, but none of the people that are currently running them, none of the people who are currently working there should be working there anymore, okay?
Right.
They're just part of a different clique. They don't know how to do journalism because their environment was never part of something that they could understand as being journalistic integrity. They don't know what it is.
Right.
There's people, on the other hand, that have... I keep bringing up this guy, Ian Wishart, because I want to interview him again and again and again because he's just great. One of the greatest New Zealanders in terms of journalism in history, like bar none.
Yeah.
Right, that kind of guy. The sort of guy who had silicon pumped into his brakes by the New Zealand police, so he was on, the sort of guy whose tires caught fire. the sort of guy who gave up the host spot of the New Zealand version of 60 Minutes to do his own magazine that only had truth in it, you know?
Yeah.
The sort of guy that gave up the platinum credit card and the glitz and glamour lifestyle and everybody loving him to be instead called a conspiracy theorist and be maligned by everybody who used to work with him. You know, that sort of guy. That's integrity, isn't it? That's honor. That's doing your own thing. That, and guess what? He's a Christian. Now, a real Christian, not a hypocristian. This is the thing. People don't understand their religions because they're stupid. He does understand his religion because he's intelligent and he actually does what the spiritual teachings are probably trying to do, which is, i.e., the right thing. Now, personally, I need experience in order to learn right from wrong. Okay, so if I am mean to somebody and then I walk into a lamppost and I go, okay, instant karma. That actually happened to me one time. And if you learn these lessons, if you keep paying attention specifically to the things that are causing you pain, the things that are causing you discomfort, depression, anxiety, etc., and you start paying attention to them, mate, you'll actually start solving them, because ultimately, we usually ignore the things that are making us upset and try to entertain ourselves, and that's why they don't get solved. We usually feel really bad about that, and that's just your body and your mind and your spirit and your destiny telling you that something is wrong and you need to be doing something about it. If you choose to not do something about it, it will continue to feel wrong and you'll continue to get worse. What are you going to do? Okay, those two magical words, fuck it, man. I mean, what do you got to lose? I mean, there's a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery who've been in charge of humanity for at least the last couple of hundred years in terms of the banking cartel clan. They have a gestative control over all of the media, all of the finances, all of your products, all of the food supplies, all of this, that, that, and the other. And you're going to sit around and contemplate this possibility of, can I negotiate with these people? Is there some way they can make me their pet so that I can continue to just sit around and play Xbox while the world collapses around me? No? 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 Okay. Unfortunately, the word is moral obligation. All right. That's the one thing that I've noticed is the difference between true Christians and hypocrites. True Christians have a sense of moral obligation to do what is right, even though they don't want to do it.
Exactly. And it goes back to disengaging from the quagmire, from all of the fucking inner exchange of skull fuckery. I mean, in the passion and the quest of exposing and participating with all of these different things, people are disconnecting from what you just explained. When you say fuck it, what we're really saying is, man, how are you going to say fuck yeah, I'm at my bliss, I'm actually understanding why I'm so screwed up and how to fix things. I'm going to make choices based on wisdom and learn my lessons instead of choices based on insanity. You know, how do we break out of this psychopathy? You just explained it. You know, we got to disengage from all this stuff. And I'm excited about our basic conversation, man. It's groundbreaking for me to be able to disengage from dealing with other people. You know, when I talk to someone, and I don't want to mention names because, man, I've dealt with some real nutcases, and they have big followings. I mean, I wish I could have that type of subscriber base, but
if you're willing to lie to people and tell them everything that they want to hear without actually saying the truth, you'll get a fucking huge following, bro.
They'll send you money. Psychopathy loves itself, man. It's like you know how snakes get in a mating ball and they're all competing to fuck each other or whatever. I don't know what it is, but you get these big ass balls of snakes. And it's happening underwater, and they're just in a frenzy. They're gonna reproduce. How in the hell can people that follow all of these different topics and they participate with all this alternative media, they're living in fear because most of them are scared. They're like, damn, my profile. I tell the whole world that I'm against the government. I'm against, big pharma. But they don't care.
It's a lens filtration.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So if you're able to put psychic messages out, mm-hmm. audio messages out, video messages out, psychological messages out, and essentially just enforce a particular view of reality, it's like mm-hmm. a particular lens going in front of your eyes to obscure you, to obscure reality from you, to change it a little bit.
I know you are, but what am I?
And so I don't know exactly how many lenses get put over, okay? Like maybe the selfishness lens, right? Where you look at everything via its value to you versus the omni selfish lens, which is looking at everything and seeing how it is of value to everything and you, right?
And you know, ironically, they base that value to themselves on guarding their cognitive dissonance and their disconnect from being fucking real.
Don't worry, it's just the grief process. That's they're in the denial stage.
Yeah,
right? That's the first part of it.
So the next stage is to get pissed off, right?
Yeah. Well, let's have a look at this because I get into this all the time, and I've done this piece. It's conspiracy theorists. Why your family thinks you're crazy and how to change it, right? And it goes through and describes this this grief process, and there's a video for those of you who don't really like to read and everything, but it goes through this entire part of how it works for you. It says, an emotional effect similar to the well-known five stages of grief takes hold. The five stages are 1, denial, 2, anger. 3, bargaining. 4, depression. 5, acceptance. Sadly, some won't make it all through all the stages and achieve acceptance. They might be stuck in one very difficult stage for the rest of their lives and create many ways to justify their antisocial behavior so they don't have to take responsibility for it. But in any way, in conspiracy terms, it works this way. Denial. You deny that there's a ruthless criminal sociopath that run most of the world and try to convince yourself that you're still free and continue to work a slave job that you hate for a boss who's a scumbag in the hope that it'll all just blow over. 2, anger. You get angry that this ruthless criminal sociopath that run most of the world and the fact that neither of your friends or family believes you. This makes you resent and direct your anger towards them instead of the ruthless criminal sociopaths. 3, bargaining. You get over the anger when you realize it's not helping you and try to tone your behavior down when you talk about conspiracy, hinting rather than pointing it out directly. However, instead of telling the truth that people won't believe, you start speaking in riddles that people don't understand. It's at this point that you may try to turn back as they begin to doubt that the truth is the truth and discover that it's not worth the time or effort to try and help people. So right. Many abandon this approach and proceed directly to stage 4, depression, without passing go or collecting $200. Number 4, depression. You begin to lose hope. You cry on occasion when thoughts hit you in the night. You retreat inwards and the amount of human contact you have shrinks massively because you're so down that you depressed almost everyone you come into contact with by moaning about how bad it is that you're being exterminated by psychopathic bankers. At this stage, some people have been involved in this vein for many years, get overwhelmed and traveling down this road completely. They return to the workforce, stop hanging out with any people who are conspiracy-minded, and ignore the news and most information sources in general, mostly because it reminds them of how depressing reality is, and if they've convinced themselves that not doing anything to help humanity and keeping their heads down is the only way that they will survive what's coming. And this also sometimes happens to people in the bargaining stage. And lastly, acceptance, number 5. When arriving at acceptance, it's important to note that most people will never reach this stage. It's interesting because there are many people who claim that they've woken up, like New Agers, for example, who appear to be stuck in either the denial or bargaining stages in some kind of perverse mind game they play in an effort to prevent themselves getting in touch with any real anger they're feeling. This is a big mistake. Obviously, because acceptance of this trauma of waking up means completely accepting that the other stages of grief exist as well. You need to accept that you were in denial, accept that you were angry, accept that you foolishly tried to bargain your way out of it, accept that you were depressed, and only now do you completely understand the nature of the problem you're dealing with, because you either are no longer part of that problem or at least clearly see the part that you play and what can be done about it.
Wow. Man. You know, Vinny, it's easy for you to explain because you've got this whimsical, magical way of not allowing all of these different character traits to control your life. I mean, you have a lunge forward. You know, like you're like the nose cone on a missile.
It's the opposite. It's cosmic irony, bro. I am terrified of police. I hate I can't stand being insulted. I can't work for other people. You know, that kind of thing. Like, these are big disabilities that I've got to a large degree. Right. I should actually be on a sickness benefit. But I can't actually bring myself to do that because I can't sit down in front of people and do interviews and stuff like that. I have, like, panic attacks. So, unfortunately, the only thing I can do is be the biggest media entity of the alternative vein, talking about everything without fear or favor and giving people who don't normally get the chance to be listened to at all, and if they do, it's like for 30 seconds of a soundbite, the chance to fully get heard out and have that as a permanent archive for posterity so that if anybody ever has a look for who this person is, you'll see that they've probably been interviewed on the Vinny Eastwood Show and they may or may not be a good gun.
Right. So you see how I interpreted what you said? Even my ability, and I've been an activist for 35 years, and man, that upside down and backwards analogic aspect of reality. You see how I interpreted the profound truth that you spoke, and then when I made my statement, you came back and said, in all honesty, no man, check it out, you know. You see, I believe this type of genuine sincerity. You know, we're read by our constituents. People will acclimate to what makes us more of us, more successful in being part of the daily grind and smiling. And I think, man, that's a real profound response you just had. And it just shows how my thought process works, you know. Mm. The only way I find success is when I back the fuck off of everything and I just let it happen. I participate with things that are happening positive in my life. I don't engage. You know, I spend most of my time screwing up trying to make it happen myself when I should just be in my zen, just doing me and you know, doing my toenails or something. You know, I should be doing, you know, go out and touch the blades of grass and talk to the squirrels, and my life would just manifest a lot easier.
We talked, you know, about this on a number of shows as well, about the ping. It's a psychic ping, and you'll get this from time to time at important little junctures in your life that are seemingly insignificant. Right? This is the way this is the way the universe works. Everything's cosmic and ironic. If it's not cosmic and ironic, then you're probably dealing with something that's not of this world. Right? That's very scary. Right.
Exactly.
Okay. So, for example, if you have a little thought in your head, hey, I wonder how this person's doing, just randomly, out of nowhere, call that person, send them an email, get in contact or something. Mm-hmm. If you go, I should probably just take the washing down right now, but you're like, no, I want to just sit down and watch the end of this video. No, take that washing down, bro, because by the time you've finished the video, the clouds would have gathered and would have started raining and the thing's down, right? But you'll only start getting your pings, I think, after you stop ingesting the fluoride. That's a real hard one, actually. Just getting non-fluoridated water is exceptionally hard to find. You've got to go to organic shops to buy the big 20-liter waters. If you're in a fluoridated population zone, other people have tap water. Because filters are a real crazy one, bro. Did you know a lot of the filter sets just increase the aluminium and at the same time as taking out the fluoride?
Definitely. It introduces more of a molecular nano delivery into your body.
Yep. Okay, see again, cosmic and ironic. And that's how you know what I'm telling you is true.
Exactly.
Right. And I think Jordan Maxwell told me this. Nothing is as it seems. Nothing. Right? And so, whoa. Nothing's as it seems. That's a really, really difficult thing to deal with, isn't it?
That's right.
Because it means that I'm not as I seem. It means that my life and all of my accomplishments aren't as they seem. It means that their value has not yet been recouped. It means that all those dollars that I spent haven't actually had any value attached to them. It means that all the debt that I'm in doesn't exist.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's another whole wavelength, and people will just destroy themselves thinking about this, because nobody sits them aside and explains the grief process to them. Bro, you're just going through the grief process, right? It was like it's like having a bad trip, all right? I was doing mushrooms one time with a bunch of mates at a big party in town one time, and I started to have a bad trip. Like, I was just like, all of a sudden, oh my God, I feel nothing. It wasn't that I can't feel my body or anything like that. It was that emotionally, I felt nothing. And it terrified me, because I've always got like maybe 10 or 11 different things, like just blah, 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 blah. My head's real crazy up there. That's why I appear to speak so eloquently and so quickly. It's because I've already thought up 10 possible sentences and then chunked out 9 of them and incorporated the best of them into the best sentence that I can do right now.
Right.
Before I've even opened my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sort of thing that's going on, but there's plenty of other things that I just can't do, right? There's an old saying, everybody can do something, but nobody can do everything, right? Have a look at what your talents are. If you're worried about the world, think about what your talents are. What brings you together with other people? What do other people value you for, right?
Right.
I mean, I took a look at myself at the time when I first started doing all this, and I had plenty of money. After several years of telemarketing, I developed a great talent at talking, specifically how to translate complex and uninteresting convoluted garbage into easily comprehensible language.
Right.
And I had a passionate interest in all things conspiracy and always wanted to be a filmmaker. So I took personal responsibility for the problem I saw, quit my job, bought an iMac and a camera, started filming public meetings and protests, and learned how to do everything myself. Mm-hmm. Now, after uploading videos for a year or two, I started a radio show, and the first few years were very tough. And without the support from my wife, I surely would have failed. But I didn't ask, you know, people for help before I started. I didn't ask someone for a solution to my problems. Mm-hmm. I didn't try to get a qualification to learn how to do it correctly. I simply saw a problem which others appeared to be making progress on and followed their example.
Yeah.
Right. And the same approach that I implemented by instinct might work for others. You know, just number one, try finding a problem that you're passionate about fixing. Doesn't matter what it is. Two, pull apart that problem's elements to find one little part of that overall problem that you kind of understand or think you have a solution for, or it can at least make a difference by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, analyze what your own skills are based on your life and experience and find a way of incorporating your natural talents into your work. Number four, look to see if others have done something similar and follow their example. And lastly, taking that first step is very rare, and the vast majority of people will never take it because it requires faith in yourself and a determination to achieve your goals, regardless of if your family, friends, and the entire world is against you. And they will be.
Exactly.
But, you
Vinny,
know.
Vinny, what about if you had a participation call to action audience of about 1.5 million to 2 million people of all the same ethnicity that understood what needed to happen? In fact, they would understand the issues of the world and they would call to action every time you would do something. If you had a fleet of people in the world that could go, that could infiltrate social media every day and carry a message, and I'm going to throw something in the cog right now. Me and you both know that we're coming out of a phallus, dick, freaking put women under your feet era, an epoch of time where women were treated like shit and blamed for everything. How can we get men? What type of message would you, you know, because you just spoke in the most real, down to earth way where anyone who listens to this interview is going to get some nuggets that'll help them with their own personal life to make decisions to be a better person. What message would you give a massive fleet of social warriors that just would go out and carry the message to help reach the world? What message would you speak to men that are suffering from, you know, this penis syndrome? You know, I have heard like 7 different interviews in the past 72 hours that cover real men getting mad on a rant saying, you men better be men. We got to stand together and unite and come to, and I'm not trying to say anything political, nothing. I mean, it just seems that there's a developing meme to give men a call to action. And it doesn't really look like it's beat your chest like a gorilla, but it's missing.
It's missing testosterone and sperm count and brain cells and so on and so forth. Okay.
Add to that, dude.
Men have been pretty fucked up by the New World Order system because we're the protectors. We're the guardians. We're the ones who actually go fight, kill, destroy threats to our women and children. Drag. Okay, so we were the first ones to be subdued. And the old Roman saying, if you want to control the men, control the women. And if you want to control the women, threaten the children. Have you ever heard the phrase, oh, won't someone please think of the children?
Exactly.
You fucking hear it every goddamn day, don't you? And have you noticed that all the women are starting to henpeck all the men all over the fucking place, and they're criticizing them about this, that, and the other, that kind of thing. And men don't really have any outlets. That's why we commit about 80% of all suicides. All right. Mm-hmm. We don't have any outlets. We've been cut off from divine masculinity, as well as at the same time, women having their divine femininity corrupted. The women are becoming more masculine and the men are becoming more effeminate. Now, the reason why that's fucking up society is because it confuses the children who grow up to be confused adults, right? And we're not talking about like sexually confused or that kind of thing, although that might be a factor, admittedly. Yeah. But we're talking about just you don't understand who you are or what you are based upon your gender anymore, okay? It's now you can be anything. If you're a woman, you don't stay home and look after the kids or whatever. Now, there was an experiment where they gave some children chocolates to choose from. Right, one group of children had two chocolates to choose from, two different flavors, and the other group had 40 different chocolates to choose from. And they ranked how satisfied they were with their choices at the end of making them. And it found out that the satisfaction rates for the children with way, way, way too more choices than the other kids were way, way lower. Because the smaller your options are, the more satisfied you are with the option you chose. But if you think that you're missing out on a whole bunch of stuff just by choosing this one thing, you'll never be satisfied. And that's what's happened. We've saying you can be anything. You can be a princess. You can be a president. Or blah, blah, blah. Or you are going to be a good, productive, honest, honorable, decent member of society. Right? You're going to care about the people that are within your social circle. And if they're not within your social circle, but they look like they need help and you're right there, you take personal responsibility to help that person. When I was talking about Baxi and Ange coming around here, dropping me off some food because I'm starving as a motherfucker. And they had a big fight and they didn't, but outside their house, and they live in a pretty dodgy suburb, and they've got big gate around their house to protect themselves from the community. And there was a big kind of stoush with a drunk woman and her kids in the car, and like a speed and a big fight going down with a guy grabbing a piece of wood and smashing the woman's car and stuff. Like, this is all happening right outside their house, right? And there's people in the park across the street, about 20 of them. Do any of them come up and help? Do any of them intervene? Do any of them say anything? No. They all just whip out their fucking phones and watch.
Filmed it.
Okay, now, be a hero, essentially. That's what we've got to do. But people need to realize that heroism is a common thing, okay? Heroism is an everyday thing. Heroism is within all of us. And I think that if you get more in touch with that, you'll find out that there is a hero inside you all. But the problem is you don't just go out and start proving them a hero. It's like, what was it? Simba said, being brave doesn't mean you go looking for trouble.
Right.
Being brave means you face the enemy at your gates. It means you stand your ground. It means you stick up for yourself. It means that you protect the weak. It means you protect the innocent. Mm-hmm. Okay, these are these very basic concepts and principles. If you feel bad about something that's happening in front of you, it's because you didn't say, hey, stop doing that, bro. Stop treating that woman that way. Or stop doing that to that guy, you know. Go up. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for other people. Don't be a busybody. Don't bloody tell everybody else how to live their life. But if you see something that's blatantly wrong in front of you, do something about it. Right? Now, best piece I ever got was don't take yourself too seriously and don't take what others say about you personally. Now, I thought I understood that the first time I heard it, and this really relates to the way you talk about getting people out there to spread a particular message, because it was actually only a year after they told me that it really sunk in, right? Now, what it actually means is you can't force others to think or act the way you want them to. So when you try to force them to adopt a belief, they won't like it, and you'll get a massive feeling of rejection when they reject you, and they will. And that's the exact same kind of rejection any salesman gets when people don't buy what they're selling. I know, because I used to be a salesman, right?
Yeah.
But did I just quit my job right then at that point where the person didn't buy what I was selling and have bad feelings and that kind of thing? Or did I just pick up the phone and call the next person? Right. That's the thing. I mentioned this in the interview about the information grenade. You pull the pin, you chuck it in, and maybe it'll blow up in their face later. Just say one piece of information if you're trying to get people out there. I'd like to do things with humor and fun and that kind of thing, because everybody's so serious in this movement. It's like, dude, look, you're just being mind-controlled, poisoned, and enslaved and exterminated, okay? What are you fucking so worried about, man? What are you getting so uppity about, okay? It's been happening since you were born. Nothing's actually changed. It's just now that you're aware that it's going on. Act just as calm as you used to. Mm-hmm. And deal with it as though it's just any old thing. Because it is any old thing. You don't have troops on the streets pulling people out of their houses at this point in time. You No. don't have people force vaccinating you in public squares at this point in time. So quit using that fear to justify extraordinary actions to oppose something that does not yet exist. It is currently the people that need to be gotten through to. And statistically, it takes about 7 different people to tell you something that's contrary to your belief system before you're considering abandoning it. Now, that's 7 different people telling you the same thing rather than the same person repeating it to you 7 times.
Right.
Now, that's statistically. So it's a bell curve, of course. So some might need to be told once. Some people might need to be repeated 1,000 times over a lifetime. So, you know, if you go up to somebody and you're the first person to say, hey, bro, did you know that the New World Order is a bunch of bankers that have the Rothschild family at their center and that they control all finance and that debt is a complete lie and that you're a slave and none of the money that you earn actually has any real value because they can just create any amount they want out of nothing. They'll go, fuck off, you're a conspiracy theorist. But if you happen to be the 7th person to come up and tell them that over a number of years,
it'll ring a bell in their head.
Yeah. Right. But they'll start asking you questions about it instead of denying it outright or being abusive towards you.
Right.
Now, unless you're pretty clued up and calm trying to convince them of any particular element of conspiracy without the frickin' oodles and fuckloads of documents and memes and graphics and documentaries, and goodness knows how many articles I've fucking read to qualify as no longer being a mind-controlled slave. I'm still a slave. I'm just not under as much mind control. Right? Notice I say as much mind control, because the only way that you can tell whether or not you're under mind control is if you don't think you are.
you know what I'm finding? The more I learn every day, it's a gauge as to how much I'm not participating with the mind control. You know, I kind of get off on learning things from people, and it's making me see people and not qualify them as I'm not judging people as much anymore. Yeah. I don't just go gravitate to everyone. I'm not a freaking social butterfly, but you know what? I'm learning more about the moment and man. So in everything you just said, Vinny, do you see? I mean, you just did an interview dealing with the topic of a Christian whistleblower, and what you responded, I mean, you're like, you can really respect real Christians that have the ethics and the morals and they're doing things to serve others.
Yeah, but you know, I don't respect them because they're Christians. I respect them because they got morals and ethics.
Exactly. That's it. But what about that passage that says those that are first will be last and those that are last will be first? Do you see that having a lot of validity in this moment of now? Do you see the people that are not really, I mean, how many thousands and if not millions of people have you reached with your broadcast? How, I mean, and your style is evolving. You're starting to fashion yourself into a public commodity. I mean, the people at the back of the line that haven't invested a lot of time in these theories and all of this reality, I mean, you have the demeanor to reach these people in a public medium online. I mean, they would be like, check this dude out. He's freaking awesome. Do you actually see that the emergence of people that have not been engaged in conspiracy theories and all of these different things, do you see a trend that a lot of the new people that are coming on board are really like learning the truth and they're taking righteous stands, like, damn, this is real. I got to change myself.
Me and my producer had a saying back in the day, everything's getting better and worse at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, for everybody who wakes up, there's somebody else who goes back to sleep. Everybody who dies in the service of the New World Order, there's somebody else lining up to take their place.
So instead of a two-lane highway that's like a 24-lane frickin' thoroughfare now with cars driving 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, the thing is, I like to think of it as sort of fighting an unwinnable war. Okay, Vietnam style. Okay, let's say the United States had to have the intestinal fortitude to fight the Vietnamese forever and lose. It'll take you down a peg, so you got to have like certain coping mechanisms, because I don't know how things are going to turn out. I assume they're going to turn out bad, because every time I've assumed they're going to turn out good, they've turned out bad, you know. So maybe I'm hoping to be wrong here. But you know, humor's an essential survival tool for your brain and your social life. You know, let's face it, no matter how staunch you are, how balanced, how intelligent, you know, you can't maintain your sanity without releasing tension, you know. Right. So things are getting to you. You're concerned about the Fukushima radiation in your fish, upset that the trade deals are undermining your nation's sovereignty, or frightened that the US has bought a few million guillotines. Just lay off the Facebook for a few days, okay?
Pay attention to your life, yeah.
Ignore the news. Watch a bit of comedy. Hang out with friends. Tell some lame jokes with incredibly shitty puns. I mean, fuck, those are great. You know, just remind yourself that of the world that you're still fighting for is still there, okay? And you can still enjoy it when you don't feel like fighting for it anymore, right?
Exactly.
Just take some time out, because I've seen people fucking burn out and fade away, bro, and they didn't have to. They kept pressuring themselves. No, if I take a weekend off to recuperate from the fucking 10 years of 7 day a week, 14 hour days that I've fucking put in to save humanity from scumbaggery, unsuccessfully by myself, the whole world's going to collapse, right?
Yeah.
Seems a little bit narcissistic. I would know, because I'm narcissistic. Like, because, right, and on that note of narcissism, it means self-love, okay? It comes from the myth of Narcissus, who drowned himself because he saw his reflection in the pool and he loved it so much he bent in to kiss himself and drowned, right? Yeah. Loving yourself will kill yourself. But your first responsibility is to yourself, because if you drive yourself crazy by taking yourself too seriously, alienating everyone in your personal life, you're not going to help wake people up, and you're deluded if you think you're awake and they're not. I mean,
right.
After all, just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Vinny, you know, I am so excited that we got to spend this time together. We're bumping into an hour, and I'm kind of mind fucked right now. I'm like, am I interviewing you or are you interviewing me? But I think it's just a wonderful conversation of two people that are just exposing some casual wisdom and you know, I'm excited for our potential, and I believe you've given people a glimpse of your life, and you've shared some wonderful truths that work for you, and I've learned something, man. I mean, learned something.
I'll give you my last five little pointers here.
Okay.
Vinny Eastwood's rules for fighting an endless war against scumbaggery.
Right.
I'm going to die anyway, so I'd rather die fighting. I probably can't win, but I have a moral obligation to resist. Mm-hmm. I'm terrified of what might happen to me, but I'm even more frightened of what will happen if I do nothing. And I probably shouldn't stress, because things are probably a lot worse than I think they are.
That's
you know,
fact.
And if all else fails, don't worry. It's just the end of the world.
Exactly. I mean, you know, and that's the attitude I have. If they knock my door down and they put a bullet in my head, I want to laugh at them. I want to say, thank you. you know. But at the same token, if my daughter is attacked by someone, I'm probably gonna shed my blood and their blood too, you know. So I think we just expose the fact that we're more human than we realize. And man, there's a lot more good out there than there is bad. I might just go out and hug a tree after this interview. Talk to it. Give thanks to the tree. But I'm grateful for you, man. I follow your shows, and
people hope, man. There's a lot of people who've freaking, you know, told me that they would have committed suicide if it wasn't for my show. So, you know, it's just that thing. Because, fuck, it's stressful and it's tense, and I know that it is. And that's why, unlike almost every other fucking talk radio show host in the alternative media, I don't sit there laying you on with fucking new facts and new evidence that you're fucked.
Exactly.
I mean, without laughing about it. Honestly,
if we're fucked, wouldn't we have to accept being fucked to be categorized as fucked?
Well, we're all fucked. Isn't it great?
It is. It's freaking awesome. So we can
just
say,
deal with it. And that's the adult thing to do.
We can both say fuck it. Fuck it. And we'll end up learning to say fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Well, Vinny, I thank you again. Maybe we can do this in the future. I'm interested to see what my unique audience will respond to. I hope you get some loyal supporters. We're going to do everything we can at Social Live, and I'm going to forward this to Max Egan, and maybe we can pull something off a little bit more strategic as far as an interview with Max in the near future. Would you be up for that?
We'll see if it happens.
Okay, my brother.
Because he's very busy.
Oh yeah, well I know he's very busy.
But on tour and stuff, man.
yeah. You know, it
he's chilling out in South America at the moment, even.
Yeah, he's in Peru. And, you know, his thing is, what I love about what he's doing is he's getting to the point where he's saying, damn it, if y'all want to change, stop doing what you're doing and change yourself. You know, it's about you. It's about you. And, oh, we got to come together, man. We got to come together and just start reaching out to each other and helping each other, you know. And the way you talk about people supporting you, it's real. What you do takes your whole life. I know. I spend 12 to 16 hours a day, at least 5 days a week. And then the other days I'm recouping. You know, I analyze things. I spend so much time communicating with people. And my main issue right now is I want to see just how much the cabal is exposing themselves. I mean, the emperor has no clothes, dude. It's wakey-wakey time for them and us. And I'm realizing that they're starting to expose themselves more and more and more and more. And what me and you just talked about, all the things you explained, I believe we're going to have an easier go at explaining how we can all help each other and change the world one person at a time. So I'm gonna continue to post your information. I thank you for your time, and I look forward to receiving a copy of the show. Thank you very much for what you do, Vinny. You know, you're very well respected in my house. My daughter's jumping through her skin right now. She can't wait for the show. But we're gonna do what we can in the very near future to throw you some support. Okay.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Vinny, for your time.